Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to be together tonight and look forward to worshiping. It's been a while since we've been together, 3 weeks. Nancy and I were on vacation for a week, and that included 2 Sundays. That doesn't often happen. But we're glad that we're all back together again and we welcome you, whether you're here in person or on Zoom. We're happy to have you with us. So let's begin with prayer and then let's celebrate Jesus. Father in heaven, we're eternally grateful that we can be together and worship you. I thank you that you reign supreme over all the earth, all the heavens, the universe, over every living thing. And we just give you glory and honor and thanksgiving. Thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness and for all that you accomplished in your life, your suffering, your death, your resurrection on our behalf. We're just eternally grateful and thankful. We give you honor and praise and glory that you so richly deserve. We worship you. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight to move among us, to show us the Father, to just allow the Spirit of Jesus to permeate our being in this place so that as we worship, we will have a very clear sense that you are here with us. So again, we welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing. I'm just going to raise my white flag and ask if you've raised yours and surrendered or not. And then Jeremy came up with singing about holiness.
Sorry.
Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Good choices. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us?
Well, I had the privilege of enjoying some of God's creation. I had planted some sweet potato and some flower hat in the spring. Found the flower hat. Nice big sweet potato. That cycle of planting and reaping and that rhythm of life.
Nancy just shared for people on Zoom can't hear when people share from the audience. And so I'm trying to repeat as much as possible so that they can participate as fully as possible. And Nancy was just sharing how she did a piece of God's creation by harvesting the sweet potatoes from the sweet potato plant she grew in a large flower pot on our patio or our deck this summer. And they're delicious. And it's amazing how that cycle of life comes and it reminds us of God's faithfulness. I think that's pretty much what you said. Not exactly. Janelle?
I went to Landover yesterday. It was our first care order since February. It was nice to meet those people there and to have more people in our building yesterday picking up food.
All right.
I feel like we're doing something for the community again.
Great. Janelle shared that she and Carla drove to Landover, Maryland yesterday and picked up the share food boxes and brought them. Actually, it was bulk food and we put them in the boxes, or they put them in the boxes when we arrived here at the church. So it was good to be connecting with our community again and seeing these people back in the church. So thank you, Carla and Janelle. Glad we can participate. So,
just so everybody knows, the video of the Zoom and the audio of the sermon get uploaded every week that we have it. And it's edited, all the songs removed for copyright purposes and stuff. But if there's somebody that you feel would enjoy the service or the sharing time or the children's story, those are all in there, video and audio, on the website.
Okay, so you can go to pocomokeriverchurch.com and pull up our services either via Zoom or they're downloaded there or uploaded there for you to see later, the sermons, the children's story, the sharing time, and if you know someone that would be blessed by hearing these things, let them know. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Jeff?
Prayer requests. Not tomorrow, but probably Monday, we start phasing back our students. Right now, we have roughly 188 students that are transitioning back in. It's going to be quite the undertaking.
Okay. So a week from tomorrow?
Yep.
Jeff's school begins to bring students back onto campus, and they're planning for 188 a week from Monday. So he's asking that we pray for their safety and blessing as they presume that. And also, congratulations are in order for Jeff and his administration as the Crisfield High School ranked very high in the state and in the county and in the nation. 75 out of 244 in the state of Maryland, and in the top quarter, I believe, in the U.S. So that's pretty impressive. Didn't ever used to be able to say that. So you bring faithful people and people of faith into the job who do it conscientiously, and God blesses the efforts and good things happen. So we're thankful for that. Earl shared with me this evening and some of us that his last living sibling, his next older sister, passed away this last Monday. So we want to pray for Earl and his family, her family, and know that we care deeply. We trust you love the Lord and is in his presence. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Adam, would you like to ask a question? Thank you. Amen. The overwhelming presence of God. Thank you, Jeremy.
No, I don't.
Each one's just a little bit different, aren't they? Even though they're similar. All right. Well, we heard a testimony this evening about somebody that experienced God through sweet potato plants. So I want to know, how many of you believe in God? Okay, I thought so. How many of you have seen God? What?
You raise your hand.
I started to get you to go. Yeah.
Oh.
seeing if you were answering for yourself or doing what I was doing. Well, how many of you have seen evidence that God exists? Yeah, we've seen that. What are some things that you've seen that are evidence that God exists?
Me.
Me. Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Well, last week I was in the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and every morning I got up and I could look out, and even before I looked out, I could hear the surf rolling, coming onto the beach. And then I could look and I could see those waves and I could see the clouds. In the morning, I could see the sun coming up. Now, it was already started up when I looked out. I don't want you to get the wrong notion that I was up extremely early or anything like that. But All of those things reminded me of God's greatness, of his creation, and of all that he made for us to enjoy. And that's exciting. I get excited when I see evidence of God. Now, you believe in God. How about angels? Do you believe in angels, that there are such things as angels?
Yes?
Yes, you believe in them? How many of you have seen an angel? How many of you have seen an angel? Okay. How many think you might have seen an angel? Okay. I saw that here.
I wasn't there though.
Maybe.
I wasn't there, so it doesn't count.
Okay. All right. A couple of you are saying that. Well, I've been reading a book about angels. It says angels are for real. And it's a very interesting book. And I just want to share one little tiny section of it with you. And Jesus appeared in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, in a vision to John, who wrote the book. And he held in his there were seven lampstands and seven stars. He held in his hand the seven stars and the seven lampstands. And then he told us that the seven lampstands represent the seven churches, and that the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. So that would make us believe that there is an angel for every church. So, have you looked for angels when you come to church? Have you experienced angels' presence when you were in church?
I don't think so.
I think I have. On more than one occasion. You remember I shared with you how at the Voice of the Apostles conference, there were about 6,000 of us sitting. And when the Michael W. Smith stopped leading the song, we continued to sing. And he walked away. And then his band stopped playing. And we all continued to sing and worship. And I believe the angels were orchestrating that. I didn't see it. Just my idea. I've been in church services where there were moments that just the presence came in. There was a silence. There were at least two times I remember this while I was preaching. That the congregation, 150 people or something, maybe not quite that many, just became still and quiet. And I became aware of that, even though I continued to preach. One time it happened during the sharing time. And I stopped in the sharing time and I said, God's here. Do you sense it? Man came to me after the service and he said, thanks for saying that. I hadn't missed it, but you're right. He was here. And I believe those are times when angels showed up. I didn't see them. But I want to share two little stories with you about angels in church. First one's a story about an angel bringing a supernatural anointing. Okay. That years ago, my husband and I were members of a Methodist church. The pastor was an exceptional pulpit preacher, one of those radiant messengers whose sermons managed to nurture the minds, hearts, and spirits of those who gather to listen. I had always felt called to keep our clergy in my prayers. clergy means are preachers. As the service began on this particular Sunday, I bowed my head to intercede on their behalf. My prayer time began, and the familiar sounds of a settling congregation drifted further into the background. To my astonishment, I began to experience what I can only describe as seeing into the spiritual realm. And what I saw was Jesus, silent and beautiful, entering the church's right side door. Following rapidly behind him were three angels. In one moment, they appeared in the doorway, and in the next, they moved across the church to where the preacher was standing. He was at the pulpit preparing to start the service. Two of the angels stopped and stood on either side of the preacher, while the third one approached and gently placed a burning coal in his mouth. Now, if that was a real coal, that would hurt. Okay? But it wasn't. Great excitement rose in my spirit as I knew there would be a supernatural anointing on all that he was about to say. I thank God for this incredible gift to our church. A great blessing washed over our congregation that morning. The sermon was alive with the unmistakable power of the Holy Spirit. After seeing those angels at work in my own church, I have to wonder how often they must have come alongside quietly. Must have quietly come alongside us to help, encourage, and anoint us throughout our lives. And that's one of the things I want you to realize, is that angels can come at any time. Now, this was a story about angels coming to church, but there's other stories in this book, and we've heard them from people, that somebody shows up to help them, and then they turn around to thank them, they're gone. And where'd they go? There was no, they couldn't have got away that quick. They just disappeared. Well, chances are that was an angel. Angels sometimes appear like people. And there's lots of stories like that in this book of people's testimony of what they experience. Now, here's one that I think you'll like. One Sunday while in church, my son was smiling and chuckling as he gazed up at the ceiling. I worried that he was disrupting the service, so I leaned over and pulled him onto my lap, whispering, "You need to stop giggling. What's so funny?" Have you ever been giggling in church? And mommy or daddy says, "Stop crying." Yeah, I have. Okay. Well, he replied, "The angels are so funny sitting up on the fans. See them? They're playing with each other as the fans turn." I did not see anything when I looked up, but I could tell that he was really seeing something up there. And other testimony in this book says that angels have quite a sense of humor. So, when you see angels in church and they're playing funny games together, you're allowed to giggle and laugh. And then point it out to us. We want to see it too. Okay. I share these stories to say this. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Be attentive for angels. Because I believe they're around us. They're God's ministering spirits to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us in our time of need. And so when you see one, you don't need to be afraid. You can be thankful and praise God and worship Him, not the angel. Angels don't want to be worshipped. So if you see something and it wants to be worshipped, that's not an angel of God. You can know that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You are real, you're alive, you're vibrant, you're active in our lives. That your angels are ministering spirits that come and are here to assist us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, give us hope, to build our faith. So we invite you to keep coming, Holy Spirit. Father, you're welcome to send your angels anytime. Give us spiritual ears and eyes to see and hear when they're near. We welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. I've also shared with you the Pastor's Prayer Summit I attended in Oregon, where for a full half hour, we just sensed the presence of God in a very real, powerful way. And there was silence in the room, just I believe the angels were present, were ministering in different ways at that time. I didn't see them, but I believe they were there. So, all right, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. We've been going through Hebrews from chapter 10, kind of jumped in the middle. And then I thought it'd be good to see it through to the end. The Hebrews fits somewhat the category of being an epistle, which is a letter. And the books from Romans till you get to Jude are pretty much epistles, they're letters. The book of Hebrews doesn't quite take the same form exactly as other epistles. For instance, it doesn't name the author in the greeting. We generally assume that it was the Apostle Paul, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that. There are biblical scholars that try to make it other people, and that's their issue, it's not mine. I just care that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the writer was faithful, and if it was Paul, that's fine. If it was somebody else, that's fine too. So I receive it in that way. So when you get toward the end of an epistle, I said all that to say this, when you get toward the end of an epistle, you get into a section of rules for holy living. I don't know how else to say it, but it's just a list of encouraging things, the ways that we're to live and things we're to do, and some things we're not to do that are listed there. They're not necessarily related to each other, but they're connected in the sense that this is what it means to be a Christian. As a follower of Jesus Christ, this is how we live. And so we're at that point in the book of Hebrews as we begin here in chapter 12 and verse 14. And so we're going to come across a number of different ideas and statements that maybe you wonder, where did that come from? Well, it came from the heart of the writer as inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't necessarily to build on what came before. It was just another thing for us to remember, okay? Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I think it's saying two things. It's saying, one, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. In another place, the scripture says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all people. And that's one of the things about peace. For there to be peace, both people have to be willing to be peaceable. If one person is aggressive and violent and angry and belligerent, you can't live in peace with that person until their spirit changes, till their attitude changes, their actions change. But as much as it lies within us, we're to live peaceably with all people. And so we want to be people of peace. We want to be people that help bring temperatures down in an argument. help bring resolution to a conflict and not fuel the flames of aggression or violence in any way. And so that's where we make every effort to live in peace with everyone. And we make every effort to be holy. Now, to be holy means to be set apart, to be different, not like the world. And to be holy means that we're set apart to something, and we're set apart to God. And that's where we need to see our lives. We need to realize that there are things that we just don't do. We don't partake of them. We don't participate in them because we're followers of Jesus. We're Christians. We're like Christ. And being like Christ, we know Jesus wouldn't do that activity. Can you envision Jesus getting drunk? So if we can't envision Jesus getting drunk, then we shouldn't get drunk. That's just one example. So many things. Can you envision Jesus just walking up to somebody and picking a fight with them? I can't. And so I shouldn't. I could just go on and on, and you can too, I hope. And that's how we need to judge our lives and our attitudes and ask ourselves, how do I measure up? How am I living the Christian life? It's not okay to come to church and to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and shake the preacher's hand and get baptized and walk out and live the same life you did before you came in. That's not being a Christian. That's going through the motions. And Jesus in our hearts is going to change our heart. It's going to change our attitudes, going to change our thinking, going to change the way we live and what we do. He's not only going to be our Savior, he's also going to be our Lord. And as our Lord, he's our Master. And we are his servants. We're children of God. We're loved by God. We have that relationship with God. But we're also servants of God. We're not the parents of God. We don't tell God what to do. We don't tell God what we can do. We do what God tells us to do. So I went off on that. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitter root, that comes from unforgiveness. We become bitter if we don't forgive people. It's important that we forgive quickly when the offense occurs. Don't let it build up. Don't let it grow and smolder and get worse. If you have a sore or a cut on your body somewhere, you treat it. You clean out the wound. You put a salve on it, you maybe put a bandage on it, you keep it covered, and shortly it's gone. And sometimes it's bad enough we have a scar, that we see the scar and we can be reminded of it. There are hurts in our lives that scar us, and we remember the hurt, but we don't have to hold bitterness and anger against the person that inflicted it. We can look at it and say, wow, thank you, God, for healing me from that hurt. Thank you that I didn't lose my arm because of that injury. And thank you, Lord, that I didn't lose my spiritual life because of the hurt that was inflicted on me by another person and allowing bitterness to grow up and come between you and me. So it's important that we keep our accounts current and forgive quickly. See that no one is sexually immoral. Do I need to draw any pictures? If I do, see me after the service. Or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected.
Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Don't be godless like Esau. This is what he lost. He lost his inheritance because of godlessness. We need to be godly people. We need to be God-fearing people. We need to be people that walk closely with God, in communion with him, in fellowship with him, experiencing his presence and the joy of our salvation. Now, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. Do you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness when they came to Mount Sinai and Moses was to go up on the mountain. But no person and no animal was to get near the mountain or touch the mountain. In fact, we're going to read shortly that any animal that touched the mountain was to be stoned to death. And so this is what the experience, what the people experienced when God came down on Mount Sinai and his presence shook the mountain and the earth trembled because of that. So you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." And Moses was told to come up on the mountain by God. But he was fearful. That's not what we've been called to. That's what the people in the Old Testament came to. Here's what we've been called to. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Wow. Angels in joyful assembly. What would that be like? Thousands upon thousands of them. Revelation says myriads upon myriads. That's more than you can count. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So we've come to a joyful place. We've come to a welcoming place, but it's just as holy a place. Remember, we started out here and saying, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So holiness is important. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Okay? That should make sense. That should be a no-brainer. The one who sits on the mountain, the one who sits on the throne in this new Jerusalem, when he speaks, we should listen. Don't argue. Don't make excuses. Don't try to pass blame. Listen. Listen very carefully, and do not refuse him. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, "I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. That is, my words here, that is, eternal things. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, gold, when it's brought out of the ground, has impurities in it. And we are like gold. When we come to Christ, we have impurities in us. And the way you get the impurities out of the gold is you put it in the fire. And you turn up the heat to extreme temperatures until the gold and everything that's in that pot melts. And the gold, being the heaviest material, falls to the bottom. And the impurities rise to the top. And then when it cools, you can take the gold and the impurities together out of that pot that you melted the gold in. And you can knock off the impurities. And what you have left is precious gold. The impurities were consumed in the fire, and the precious gold was left. When this writer says our God is a consuming fire, that's how I see it. We're that gold that goes into the smelter, that's the hot pot, and the temperature is brought up, and we melt, and the impurities in us come out. And if all there is in me is impurities, there's nothing left. Only the holy will be left. I have to ask myself, how much of me will be left if God turns the heat up? How much holiness is in me? Without holiness, it's impossible to see God. It's important. We live a holy life because our God is a consuming fire. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. That's a good word. That's how we should relate to each other. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Did you hear that? You may have bumped into angels and not known. Angels can come in many forms and many shapes. I believe that I heard the voice of an angel when I heard my call to ministry in a particular way, and I was standing in a secular bookstore looking at the New Age books, and I heard a voice from behind me say, just as clearly as I'm speaking to you today, I heard it just that clearly. But I also am sure that had you been standing next to me, you would not have heard it. And what I heard, I can still remember to this day. There's a world of hurting people out there. What are you doing about it? I sold my business, I went into ministry. Here I am today. I believe I heard the voice of an angel. Didn't see the angel, just my idea, my faith. So we don't know when we may have seen angels and didn't realize it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering. When was the last time you thought about a person in prison? Or prayed for a person in prison? Or went to a suffering, mistreated person? Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Again, if you need a picture, see after the service. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What an attitude. What a spirit. That's a one of faith. But it all starts with keep your lives free from the love of money. Doesn't say keep your lives free of money. Doesn't say stay poor. It says don't love money. And the thing I've realized, people can love money whether they have money or not. There are people that don't have two dimes together that just love money. They live to get the next dollar. And there are people that have more money than they know what to do with, and they just love money. They live to make the next dollar. That's not the way to live. The way to live is, I trust God. He's going to provide for me. He has so far. He's never failed me yet. No reason to think he's going to start now. I think we sing about that sometimes. Remember your leaders, okay? Now, what leaders? Political leaders? Well, let's listen to who's specifically stated here. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. That hasn't been our president any time that I'm aware of, or a governor, or a mayor's, or political leaders. That's our pastors and our teachers, our mentors, the people that we look up to and respect spiritually. We need to remember them and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So by remembering them, I think that includes praying for them. I think that includes encouraging them, blessing them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and wherever. Remember those words. Hang on to those words. Don't let anybody take that truth from you. The Jesus who walked the earth, who loved, who encouraged, who corrected and confronted, who healed, and delivered and set free and showed us the Father, is the same Jesus today sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, sending his Holy Spirit to be in us, to equip us, to empower us to be Jesus on earth. And that's how we should live. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. There must have been some feasts at this time that were thought to have spiritual benefit. And Paul's saying, the writer of Hebrews is saying, that's not where you get your spiritual strength. Doing religious things, that's not Christianity. That's not building the relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not walking a holy life. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. So the Jewish priests are not part of the Christian faith until they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The high priest of the Jews carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Okay, Jesus was crucified on Golgotha, on a hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he wore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Our future is not on this earth. It's out of this world. And we need to live like it. We need to hold lightly to the things we have in this world. We can't have our hearts and our worth, self-worth, tied up in an accumulation of impurities that will get burned up in the fire. That's what all the material things that we own are. I have a nice house. I enjoy living in it. But if it were to burn tomorrow, it would be gone. Might have some bricks still standing. Still have the concrete floor of the garage. Well, it was the garage, not Dad's apartment. But I wouldn't have a roof. I wouldn't have walls. I wouldn't have a floor. They're all wood. They're all combustibles. If my life is tied up in how nice my house is, I'm in trouble. And it doesn't have to be our house. It can be any of our possessions. It can be our bank account. It can be our, you name it. It doesn't have to be anything big. What our prized possession is. Our prized possession has to be the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, and everything else is second. The men's Bible study is studying a book by Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson says, when God is first, there is no second. Because when God is first, He's in everything. If there's a second, then by definition, when I go and pay attention to the second, I have to walk away from the first. So that means if God's first, family second, works third, then to be with my family, I got to walk away from God. And to be at work, I have to walk away from God and my family. But if God's first, there's no second, then God's with me when I'm alone with Him, when I'm with my family, when I'm at work. Whatever I'm doing, He's part of my life. That's how we need to live. That's being holy, I believe. That's being set apart for God. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Continually a sacrifice of praise. There should be a jubilance in my spirit, no matter what I'm contending with. That in I might be having a rough day, I might be having a hard time, I may be really grieving, but inside my heart with the Lord, I'm going to be happy with Him. Maybe not happy, but joyful with Him. Underneath it all, Lord, as we get through this, I'm still with You. I know Your love is real, and it's carrying me through. And You've got my best at heart, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. We don't deny Jesus. We openly profess Jesus. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Doing good, sharing with others. Doesn't say how much. You don't have to be wealthy to share. You don't have to be wealthy to do good. We can all do it. Remember the widow who put her 2 pennies in the offering? Jesus said she gave more than all the rich people with their bags of gold. She gave everything she had. It's not the amount. It's the attitude of our heart. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. So don't be a burden to your leaders. Don't give them a hard time. Bless them, honor them, respect them. Children, that's good as you relate to your parents. And our employers and our pastors and our secular leaders and our teachers and mentors, those we love. Pray for us. We're sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now that sounds like the Apostle Paul to me. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's an awesome benediction. It's a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church, for us. Receive it as such. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released, and if he arrives soon, I will come with him to see. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that's so encouraging and so full of hope. It's also full of teaching and encouragement and direction, correction, standards to live by. Father, I thank you that what's important is our relationship with you, and that as we have that relationship with you and our love for you grows, our obedience to you just comes naturally out of that. It's not something we have to do with white knuckles or gritted teeth, but it's something we do out of love and honor and respect and appreciation, because you are such an awesome God. Father, I pray that you'll continue the good work that you've begun in each of our lives. Make us holy, set apart for you. Now I pray for each of you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thank you.